This episode of the podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Visit firstrow.ca and use the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu, definitely the best mouthguard out there on the market. Visit sisuguard.com and use the promo code FNP10 to save 10% on your order. Tuesday, May 22nd. Welcome to episode number 12 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. Let's let that beat drop. Never miss it. You know what? One of these episodes, I might just switch it up and we miss the beat drop. That'd make it interesting. So we had a lot of different fights this past weekend. I went 10 for 16 overall in my picks. You know, ACB really killed me. I went 0 for 4 with ACB, but I made up for it by going 5 for 5 with the UFC. And it was pretty interesting, you know, watching that ACB card just kind of flew right by. And usually I'm pretty good there. And they put on a great card. You know, they had some issues with their audio. I witnessed it. I usually watch on YouTube, but you can watch on YouTube or on Facebook. There were two different feeds that I could find. And in both feeds, they had the English audio. You could just barely hear it in the background, and it was dubbed over with the Russian audio. And then at the same time, with the walkout songs, it was almost like some people thought that they were almost fake walkout songs, but you could tell it was the real music, but it was just kind of playing through your television. It wasn't in the background. It wasn't in the arena. It was kind of neat, but at the same time, they had some issues, and you can't really fault them. They always do put on a good show. So, 62.5% on my picks, not too bad, above the average still, but not where I'd like to have them. So, hopefully this weekend we're able to get those numbers up a bit. So, on Friday, we covered one championship, Unstoppable Dreams. The event was going on while I was recording the podcast, so... You know, familiar name, Angela Lee. She's 8-0, defended her strawweight belt against Mae Yamaguchi. And in the co-main, her brother, Christian Lee, wasn't able to win the featherweight belt against Martin Yan. But overall, good card by one. And like I said, covered it on Friday. So we're going to cover Fight Night's Global 87. That was from Russia. Took place on Saturday. You know, I got this one wrong right out of the gates. So you had a lightweight main event. It was between Peter Quelly and David Ketchatryan. You know, I had kind of talked it up because Quelly, he's 2-2-1 in his last five. And I mean, all of his wins had come by decision, really. And Ketchatryan, he was 4-1 in his last five. He was able to finish fights, but it was kind of surprising because Quelly was able to find his groove and he was able to pick up his first KO win. You know, and it was his first true knockout win. So interesting stuff there. And I saw on Twitter after the fight, on Quelly's end, had to have security escort him from the building and get him to his hotel safely. So good for Quelly. And, you know, really interesting. I mean, he's 11-4-1 now, and you kind of wonder, what could be coming up next for Quelly with an almost doomed Fight Night Global. I mean, I really enjoy the product, but you never know what could happen. Have a look at our podcast on Friday. Kind of explain that one a little bit more in detail. You know, your co-main event, it was for the light heavyweight belt. You had two former UFC vets, Fabio Maldonado, taking on Nikita Krylov. I weighed the pros and the cons. Krylov was 6-3 in the UFC. He'd beat Ed Herman, Walt Harris, Francimar Barossa. And I read after, I think I read it yesterday, that it was most likely Luke Thomas on Twitter had said that, you know, Krylov left the UFC for, it was on his own terms, something to do with wanting to be closer to his family. So good for him fighting in Fight Nights Global. So overall, he was able to get the knockout win over Maldonado. Not much of a surprise there. I had Krylov to get the win by knockout as well. So, you know, a lot younger, 12 years younger than Maldonado. And, I mean, the sky's the limit. Whether he continues to excel in Fight Nights Global, you know, possibly it'd be neat to see him move over to KSW or ACB, but definitely a lot of potential still with Nikita Krylov in that win. On Saturday, we also had ACB 87. Like I said, I went 0-4 in my picks, but didn't mean it was a bad event. You know, your main event, you had 10-1 Kane Musa. He was taking on Robert Whiteford. Whiteford had fought in the UFC previously. Moose's only loss came by way of a knockout against Mark Jacasey, so, you know, I couldn't fault him there in my pick. I had Kane Musa to win. But you know, it ended up going split decision. And to me, watching the fight, I had White for winning on my scorecard. You know, he was able to get more takedowns, and he was able to kind of wrestle and push the pace in the majority of the fight. So good for him. But, you know, I mean, Musa, he's 10-2 now. Still got a lot of potential there. And definitely, it's a good division in ACB, that featherweight division. Co-main event, middleweight. You had former Bellator star Fernando Gonzalez, who had just fought Lorenz Larkin to a decision loss in Bellator, against 12-3-2 Peter Struis. You know, Struis was able to get the win. It was a split decision win. I think the judges had kind of agreed. Well, I guess not agreed, but the judges had all seen that Struis was able to do more in the fight, able to land a few more strikes in there. It was a close fight. Hence, I mean, split decision. You never want to go to decision, but Struis was able to come away with the win. You know, Gonzalez had a rough time trying to travel over there to get the fight. He was stuck in an airport for quite some time, seemed like a couple of days. So, I'm sure he'll be able to gain his footing in his next fight and probably be able to get the win. But, overall, good showing. And under the circumstances, it was a decent fight for Gonzalez. Another fight on the card, that I had covered was Mike Rhodes. He had fought some big names, Robert Whittaker, Rafael Lovato Jr., Eric Silva, and he was taking on Ibrahim Chuzagayev, who was 11-5. It was a tough pick for me. Like I said on Friday, he has wins over Rakeem Cleveland and Alan Joban, Mike Rhodes. You know, Alan Joban, a lot of people are on the train. I know he hosts that MMA Heat podcast with Sandy Bryant, so neat there. But Chuzagayev, he hadn't really fought the same level of competition. No big names like Rhodes had. And so, you know, with that, I had taken Rhodes to win the fight. He'd faced adversity. He's got some more losses. But at the same time, he had shown to me that he was going to be able to pull out the win. But Chuzagayev was able to get the decision win in an entertaining fight. Another fight that I had almost written off, and I said that I'll give it to you. I mean, Pietro Manga, he was going to be able to get the win pretty easily. Takeo Mizugaki. You know, former UFC, WC staple, he was able to get the win by decision, so good for him. And, you know, you never know what could happen in ACB, I guess. I mean, like I said, 0-4 on the picks, but made it up with my picks for UFC Fight Night Chile. Overall, like I said, with the poll that I had on Twitter and the picks that I had made, 5-5, but to me it was a B card. You know, your main event was Kamaru Usman and Damian Maia. Usman was a -700 favorite. Maia was at a +450 from different sites. It was another boring Damian Maia fight, and I don't mean that in a good way. You know, you watch Damian Maia fight Matt Brown, you watch him fight Anderson Silva, was a boring fight, honestly. I mean, Silva mocked him the first time there when they fought. And to me, Damian Maia's last three fights, they've just been piss poor. He's 0-49 in takedown attempts. I read somewhere that against wrestlers, he was 1-63 in takedown attempts. He wasn't able to get it done against Usman. Usman said after the fight that he more than likely broke both of his hands, and that's definitely not a good sign for him. But he dominated what action there was. I mean, he was better on the feet. He negated the takedowns, and he was able to come away with a win. So, not really sure what's next for Usman. I saw he called out Tyron Woodley. You know, he could be next in line for title shot, or he could fight the winner of Covington RDA. I think, realistically, you know, if Usman was at 100% and RDA at 100%, that'd be a really interesting fight. I think that Usman's a better fighter than Covington. He's better on the feet. His wrestling's great. It's sound. His technique's good. His movement's better than Covington. And, you know, against RDA would be a good fight. Although, if I had to take a winner in that fight, I'd definitely take RDA, way more tools. But Usman, Maia, it was a really boring five-round fight. Guys I was watching it with, you know, they really weren't into it. I think most of us started to pack up with about a minute left in the fight. You knew what was going to happen. So, lackluster main event for sure. Your co-main, though, didn't disappoint. So you had Alexa Grasso taking on Tatiana Suarez. I had said, you know, Grasso is a bigger name. She had just beaten Randa Markos, and she had lost to Felice Herrig in her last two fights. Suarez, 9-0 total going into the fight. And she had a lot of finishes by submission. And hey, Suarez got the first round rear naked choke finish. So really good fight. And then, you know, also on that main card, so I had focused on Jared Cannonier, Dominic Reyes. Dominic Reyes was able to come away with the knockout win, and he called out another 3-0 fighter in the UFC, and Jordan Johnson. So that'd be pretty interesting. You know, a lot of people on Twitter were saying that Reyes should call it a big name in the light heavyweight division rather than call it a prospect, but apparently there's a little bit of fuel in that fire between the two of them, so that could be a good fight. You know, two prospects going at it in the light heavyweight division that's a little bit lackluster at times in the UFC currently. So, another fight on the main card that makes it a B card. I know that you have to do this, and I know that they do it all the time. You know, UFC's card in Liverpool this weekend, they've got a lot of Brits on the card. Bellator is doing the same thing. Bellator, actually, their prelims, I'll focus more on Friday before the fights, but Bellator's prelims, I had a look through it today, a lot of really good records, and you don't totally see that on the Bellator prelims. They've got it stacked. But for Saturday night on UFC Fight Night Chile, they had a hometown boy, Chile's own 7-1 Diego Rivas, taking on 38-year-old 7-3 Guido Caninetti. You know, I have no idea why this was on the main card. This would be a feat, like a fight pass prelim type fight anywhere else. They had mentioned that Rivas had actually beaten cancer in 2016. And he was coming into this fight, had a lot of support behind him, but it was a snooze fest of a fight that went to decision. Caninetti was able to come away with a win, but overall, it was kind of a head-scratcher. Like, you could have had this fight on the prelims, but I understand where you've got a Chilean fighter and you want to have him fighting on the main card. Go back to my example that I've used so many times again and again, but Gavin Tucker fighting so high on the main card in Halifax against Sam Cecilia, bigger name, but most people didn't know who Tucker was. I mean, he was, what, 9-0 at the time, and he definitely made a statement for sure. So every now and again, you get lucky with a fight like Tucker had, but on this night, I mean, you had an older guy, you kind of had to know what to expect, and that fight definitely didn't deliver in my eyes, but That's more or less the purpose of why I put that poll out there, just to see what people thought between, you know, they probably have a lasting impression of that fight and the main event, and I mean, there were some other good matchups. So another one that I had previewed was Chad Lapreeze and Vicente Luque. I said take Luque. I really think Luque's kind of poised for a big run here. Coming up, you know, he had beaten Nico Price in his last fight by submission, and he was actually able to get the first round knockout win. So, you know, keep an eye on him. I think he's going to make waves in a wrestle heavy welterweight division. You know, you've got Darren Till taking on Wonder Boy coming up this weekend, welterweight matchup. Those two guys are strikers, obviously, but at the same time, you've got a lot of wrestlers like your Usman, your RDA. So Vicente Luque, what he brings to the table, I mean, he's 13-6 or 13-6-1 right now, but he can get the knockout, he can get a submission win, he can dominate a fight in all sorts of different ways, which is what I'd like to see in this division. You know, a lot of people seem to think that it's starting to get a bit stagnant in the UFC. I don't agree with that, but Luque was able to deliver and got the knockout win, so good for him. Another fight of the night candidate that I had kind of mentioned but didn't live up to the hype, I'll give you the details. Enrique Barzola was able to get the decision win over Brandon Davis. You know, Brandon Davis, one of those stand-and-bang type guys who's on Contender Series, and I had said take Barzola, so he was able to get the win. Now, some fights that I might not have gone into detail, but some fights of note. You know, the first fight on the card was actually, that was an A+. You know, Paul Craig here recently had fought, and he got a submission win with, like, I think it was 4:59 of the third round. He was able to get the win, and he was getting dominated in that fight. Your first fight on the card, you had Claudio Puelas taking on Felipe Silva. You know, Silva, if you're listening, find that killer instinct, bud. Like, he had Puelas dead to rights, and he couldn't capitalize on it. I mean, he got beaten by a third round knee bar in a spectacular turn of events. I mean, Puelas was beaten bad. I mean, once he stood up from getting that knee bar, One of his eyes was almost totally swollen shut. So great win for him. Couldn't believe Felipe Silva. I mean, there was one point where he got the knockdown and he just kind of lumbered in there and kind of gave him a couple shots. I mean, maybe he was nervous of getting submitted. I don't know, but definitely needs to come back with a new game plan in his next fight. And if he's got someone down like that, you got to finish it for sure. Another fight that I was really surprised by, you had Brandon Moreno taking on Alexander Pantoja. You know, Moreno, he's coming off a loss against Sergio Pettis. He looked a bit sloppy, but my goodness, he looked bad. Like, his striking wasn't all there. He was kind of in and out, and movement wasn't great. So, good for Pantoja to get the win. And be interesting to see what happens to Moreno. You know, he's in his mid-20s. He's a young guy. Lots of potential still there for sure, but definitely a poor showing coming off of this fight, but also off the loss to Sergio Pettis. You know, fight of the night for most people was the fight between Andrea Lee and Veronica Macedo. You know, I think Lee's definitely that breath of fresh air that I've been talking about. You know, that flyweight division, there's a lot of potential in women's MMA to have a really good division, whether you have strawweights move up, you have bantamweights move down a little bit. You could have Mackenzie Dern possibly fight there, but Andrea Lee and Macedo, if you didn't have a chance to watch it, go on to Fight Pass as soon as you can and check it out. It was a really impressive fight for both of them, and it was able to net Lee the fight of the night. So yeah, great fight. Boxing on Saturday night, you had the Canadian superstar Don Stevenson. He was taking on Badu Jack for the WBC light heavyweight belt. Jack, I had said take Jack, and this is where I went wrong, but did I go wrong? He looked great, good back and forth. Ended up with a 115-113 for Jack and two 114-114 cards. And it resulted in a majority draw, and so, therefore, Stevenson retained his title. There's rematch talks underway. It's a little weird how that works sometimes, but from what I've heard, Stevenson's willing to go for the rematch, so hopefully we get to see that. And then in the other boxing fight on Saturday night, you had Gary Russell Jr. taking on Joseph Diaz for the WBC featherweight title. I had said take Russell to win. I mean, his only loss was to Vasily Lomachenko. So I expected him to get the knockout win. He was able to get the win, but finished it by decision. So a good win for Gary Russell Jr. All right, so I was browsing around a little bit on the old interweb today, and I headed on over to First Row Collectibles. You know, we had Curtis Housen from First Row a few weeks ago. We talked about wrestling. We talked about the crossover between MMA stars and wrestling stars. So if you head on over to Curtis's website, it's firstrow.ca. You can check out their selection of MMA autographs, wrestling memorabilia, hockey cards. I mean, the list goes on. When I was over there today, they're already locked in on the playoffs. It was kind of sad to see Curtis's Jets go down there to the Vegas Golden Knights, but they've got all sorts of Washington Capitals cards, Ovechkin cards available. I saw there was some 8x10 signed by Roland Delorme, former UFC fighter. And then they also have some classic Celtics Robert Parrish autographs. Lots of neat stuff on there. You can get mystery packs. You can get old editions of magazines. I think I said last weekend they had some 60s Sports Illustrateds available. So large selection of sports collectibles. And I'm sure for whoever you're looking for, you'll be able to find something. So if you use our promo code, it's FNP at checkout, you'll be able to get free shipping on your order. All the prices on the website are available in Canadian dollars, so to our American listeners, you're going to be saving about 25% when you order with First Row. So go on firstrow.ca, use promo code FNP, and you can follow Curtis and First Row Collectibles at First Row on Twitter. So I mentioned the last few weeks, you know, I had pretty bad luck playing hockey the one game where I wasn't wearing my mouth guard, so head on over to Sisu. Sisu, you know, they've got great mouth guards, and what it is, it's a really thin boil and bite mouth guard. It's not like any of those, you know, boil and bite rubber mouth guards you've ever used before. You boil them, you go and play, you put it in, first shift you can't talk, if you're playing hockey, you can hardly drink water through your water bottle, you know, hard to talk to your line mates. If you're an MMA fighter, it's going to be tough to talk to your corner men, your corner people. You know, you see it every weekend. They pop that dirty old mouth guard out, and they have to have a word, and then they pop it back in. Or, geez, I mean, I'm pretty sure I saw it this weekend. I can't remember which fight, but there was a fighter who forgot to put their mouth guard in, or the corner took their mouth guard with them. So you never want to be in that predicament. With Sisu, you can talk with it in, you can drink, you don't have to gag. It's not going to get to the back of your teeth, which is definitely a problem that I've had in the past. And they offer a $35,000 dental warranty, which is good for a year. So that'll cover any out-of-pocket expenses that you could incur if you have any injuries while you're wearing that mouth guard. So if you head on over to sisuguard.com and the promo code FNP10, you'll be eligible to save 10% off your order today. You know, like I said, it's a lot more comfortable than all those other Boilermakers mouth guards. And I've got a link on my website to theirs, and it'll kind of show you what you're looking for. So they offer a wide selection of different mouth guards, but the point is they're all thin and they all fit great. So Sisu mouth guard. All right, so this week's up and comer. It was pretty hard to pick, I'll be honest with you. You know, there's a lot of good fights in M1 this weekend. There's a lot of good fights on the LFA card, on the Bellator card, on the UFC card. But, you know, this guy's fighting on an intriguing card, LFA 40. It's on Friday. It's Ramiz Brahimaj. So he's 6-0. He's got 6 submission victories to his name. Fighting out of Dallas, Texas. In his last fight, it was at LFA 33. He got the first round rear naked choke over Bilal Williams. And I mean, he dominated that fight. If you watch it online, he had good takedowns. He automatically went for a takedown, double leg, got it. He's good at grappling. His movement's good in the cage as well. He's really crafty, always seems to win his scrambles. And he's taken on a guy, 8-3, Evan Cutts. I mean, he's equally as impressive. He's got 7 wins by submission out of 8 total. But Cutts hasn't fought since June of last year, so it's a pretty interesting matchup. You know, you think, I really like to focus on the BJJ guys and the submission specialists, your Mackenzie Dern, Dylan Danis, Rafael Lovato Jr. The list goes on, and every single weekend we seem to be able to find someone who's a submission specialist who's really able to use that knowledge and that discipline to their advantage. Damian Maya wasn't able to this past weekend, but hopefully on Friday you're going to be able to see Ramiz when he squares off against Evan Cutts to be able to get the win. You know, take Brahimaj. I think he's going to be able to get the win, and he's definitely going to be able to open some eyes in the welterweight division. And he's fighting at home as well, so LFA 40 is going to be from Dallas, Texas. So, good card. And like I said, I mean, welterweights, we went over it earlier, but it's a wrestling-heavy division lately. So, with Ramiz's win, you never know. I mean, this could propel him into the UFC. The sky's the limit for this guy. Six fights already and 6 submission wins. So have a look at that fight this weekend if you're going to be watching LFA 40. So fights coming up this weekend. Like I said, you've got LFA on Friday, but on Thursday, and I'm going to offer my picks, which is something I don't do on Mondays, you've got M1 Global Challenge 92 at 3 p.m. Eastern from St. Petersburg, Russia. Like I said, making my picks today, where it's on Thursday. We'll have a podcast on Friday to cover the rest of this weekend's events. But your main event, it's a heavyweight main event between 28-7 legend Sergey Kartanov taking on 9-2 prospect Anton Vyazidzhin. You know, Kartanov, he's got wins over Arlovsky, Pedro Hizo, Fabricio Verdum, and Vyazidzhin, you know, it's his biggest fight to date. His biggest fight so far, he lost by decision to KSW heavyweight champ, former UFC fighter, Phil DeFries. So both of these guys, they can light it up with a knockout. They both fought this spring, and they're both 4-1 in their last 5. But to me, take Kartanov to win. You know, Vyazidzhin, he's got about a 64% finish rate. I think he's got something. I think it's like 7 out of 9 so far. Or sorry, 7 out of 11 have been by finish. But if you go by Kartanov, he's got a 76% finish rate. He's more well-rounded. And in those last 4 fights, he's been able to get some finishes. So Kartanov in the main event of M1 Global Challenge 92. And in your co-main, it's actually a really interesting fight. You get their flyweight championship bout between 8-2 champ Alexander Deskalchuk, and he's taken on interim champ 8-2-1 Armin Ashimov. So if you look into it, Ashimov, he's got 6 wins by knockout or TKO, but the champ, he's finished 7 of 8 victories. So 6 of 8 versus 7 of 8. It's a hard fight to pick again, just like that main event. It's tough to know, but both guys aren't really explosive, you know. Neither one of them are the type to get finishes in the first minute, even 2 minutes of a fight. It takes a little bit longer before they get that knockout or that submission. In my opinion, take the champ to retain his belt, so take Daskalchuk to win in that. As I mentioned earlier, LFA 40 from Dallas on Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Your main event is actually title unification bout in the featherweight division. It's between 13-1 Angel of Death, Kevin Aguilar, taking on 8-1 Than Lee. You know, Lee, he's actually competed on The Ultimate Fighter, on Dana White's Contender Series, and Aguilar, he's been somewhat of an LFA staple. Had a bit of an early foray into Bellator. I think he had one fight in Bellator pretty early on in his career. So that's something to look forward to. Co-main on that card, you've got 14-2-1 Damon Jackson taking on 21-3 Jeremy Spoon. Jackson actually has experience in Bellator and the UFC, just a few fights, and he's got a notable loss to Yancy Medeiros. Whereas Spoon, he's mostly fought in the regional circuit. He's had three fights in Bellator and had a notable loss against Daniel Strauss, Bellator champ, I guess. Your biggest card this weekend, it's hard to kind of figure out, honestly. It's pretty debatable. But you've got Bellator 200 from London on Friday. That's actually at 4 o'clock Eastern, a little bit earlier. Your main event, kind of in question, actually. At this point, they moved up Carvalho and Gegard. But, you know, Krokop, I guess he came down with a leg injury. I saw a picture on Twitter, whether it's real or not, I don't know. But it looked like there was either blood going in or out of Krokop's left leg. You know, if there could be a replacement, Roy Nelson's out there campaigning for one. I just, before I started recording, I actually put a comment in. So, my picks for a late replacement could be Philip DeFries. He's got a lot of experience. He's current KSW heavyweight champ. I don't know if the contract would be, you know, if they'd allow it, whether he could compete in Bellator. You know, every now and again, you see someone from Bellator in M1 or M1 in ACB, or sometimes they're able to do something like that. So possibly Philip DeFries or someone who made the UFC 3 game over Curtis Blaydes, Mersin Tabora. You could see Tim Johnson fight in Bellator. You know, he signed with Bellator in April. He's coming off a win over Marcelo Gomes in the UFC. Whether or not he's able to make it over to London in time, I mean, we're Tuesday right now, so he's still got the rest of the week to get over there. I doubt it'd be too hard to make the weight where you're having a heavyweight fight. And I mean, this is supposed to be for your alternate in that heavyweight championship Grand Prix. So, hopefully they're able to find someone to fight Roy Nelson. Apparently no one in England or close by was willing to take the fight on such short notice. So be interesting to see what happens. But as of right now, middleweight championship bout between Rafael Carvalho and Gegard Mousasi. That's your main event right now. Current co-main, you get England's own 12-0 Michael Venom Page taking on 19-4 the Caveman David Rickles. I'm gonna make my pick right now. Take MVP to win the fight. David Rickles, you know, he's fought Michael Chandler in the past. He's fought some of the bigger names in Bellator, but at the same time, he doesn't really push the pace all that much, and it should be an easy win for MVP. I think he's going to win by knockout, and I see that that Semtex's Paul Daly, he just signed with Ali Abdelaziz, whether it was last weekend or the tail end of last week, and all of a sudden he's reignited that flair and wants to compete again and still wants to fight MVP. So I'd love to see that fight happen. You know, both guys, good welterweights. I definitely see MVP having a higher ceiling, being a younger guy, still undefeated, but it'd be a good fight between those two, and hopefully we're able to see it. Also on the card, you get two light heavyweight contenders. You get Phil Davis and Linton Vassell squaring off. And then the next big thing at 125 in women's MMA, if she's not already, you've got 5-0 Anastasia Yankova taking on another English fighter in Kate Jackson, who's coming off a loss to Valerie Letourneau, and that was in her Bellator promotional debut. So a good fight there for sure. I'm going to break that one down in more detail, but if you've never heard of Anastasia Yankova, have a look before I get into it. She's definitely a talent for sure. And that 125 division, I see nothing but potential for it. So have a look at that. UFC Fight Night 130 from Liverpool, kind of competing against Bellator. I mean, you've got two cards in England this weekend, but that one's actually taking place on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Your main event, you've got welterweight top contender type matchup between Stephen Wonderboy Thompson and Darren the Gorilla Till. You know, Till, the hype train's there, coming off a win against Cowboy. You know, Cowboy was on a bit of a slide before that fight, and he was finally able to get the knockout win over Yancy Medeiros. So Wonderboy, he's been there for quite a while. You know, notable wins over Rory McDonald, and then the two fights against Tyron Woodley for the title. So that's definitely a great matchup, two strikers. And then whether or not one of those two fights for the title, or fights RDA Covington winner, or fights you know, Usman, who knows? I'm not really sure how this welterweight division's shaking up, and the rankings don't seem to mean anything. So be interesting to see what happens. And I'll offer my prediction. I've pretty much got it picked out, but I'll offer my prediction on Friday. Co-main event, you get Neil Magny taking on a very late replacement in Craig White, making his promotional debut. He's 14-7, replacing Gunnar Nelson in that fight. Pretty easy pick there. I'd be going with Magny if I were you. I will be for sure. And then some other notable names to watch on that card. You've got Elias Theodorou taking on Trevor Smith. You've got Dan Kelly, Judo Dan, on that card. Him and Elias had quite the beef there in Australia in their last fight. Gina Mazzani's on the card, Nordine Taleb's on the card, and then possibly the best fight to watch this weekend. I wasn't going to focus on the fight as an up-and-comer, but this is my fight of the night for this weekend. You've got 10-1 Carlo Pietrasoli Jr. making his promotional debut against 10-5 Brad Scott. Pietrasoli just fought, it was either 3 weeks or a month ago, in Cage Warriors 93. He took on Nicholas Dalby, former UFC fighter, and he was able to get the win there. So he's a really great fighter, and definitely have a look at that. There's going to be fireworks in that fight for sure. So there you have it. That's episode 12 of the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. I'm on Stitcher now for those of you who are listening on Android. And make sure you review the podcast. I'd like to thank our sponsors, First Row and Sisu. And I'm going to be back on Friday. More than likely, I have a guest with me who's going to help us break down the fights and help you budget your viewing time this weekend. So be interesting to see what tricks I have up my sleeve for Friday. But we'll see you then.